Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
A Citrix survey says two-thirds of employees believe that by 2035, workers with microchips implanted in their bodies will have an unfair advantage in the labor market. So yeah, the welcoming of the end of days is now here. This is the Chad and Cheese Podcast, everybody. I'm your co-host, Robo Joel.
And I'm Chad, timeout Soash.
And this week, we have migrating people, Patagonia, and push-ups. Oh, and Indeed rumors. Yes! We'll be right back.
Sovereign Parser is the most accurate resume and job order intake technology in the industry. The more accurate your data, the better decisions you can make. Find out more about our suite of products today by visiting sovereign.com. That's S-O-V-R-E-N.com. We provide technology that thinks, communicates, and collaborates like a human. Sovereign. Software so human, you'll want to take it to dinner.
Did you watch the Emmys?
I watched some of it. I want to say football may have interrupted me, although I did see quite a few of the Schitt's Creek monopoly of awards in the first hour or so.
Yeah.
I assume that's what you want to talk about.
Well, that and the experience overall. I mean, seriously, who needs to get all those people into one room when you could have an experience like they had? I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, some of his shit fell flat, but it would have fell flat anyway. But it was really cool. They were going back and forth to all these different parties that they were having. Mm-hmm. And it seemed more natural, more organic, and it was more fun. I liked it. But yeah, Schitt's Creek won Best Comedy Series, Supporting Actress, Supporting Actor, Writing, mm-hmm. Lead Actress, Lead Actor, Directing. If you haven't seen Schitt's Creek, go to Netflix right now. Add it. Right now. Very uncomfortable, especially at first, but oh my God, it's amazing.
I do recall seeing, the Zoomification, I guess, of the nominees and how they're shown on the screen was fun. I seem to remember one that was topless, sort of walking around the house. One was in their pajamas. So there's a certain level of artistic freedom, I guess, that these folks can take. That they can't take in a ballroom, you know, with their Prada or whatever name brand label you want to have when you're dressed up and looking your best.
Yeah. Well, think of the green kind of like footprint that you're leaving instead of carbon footprint that you would be, right? All the people that had to fly in, more traffic, all this. It's overall, it was more fun experience, I thought. And who the fuck needs a red carpet anyway? I mean, come on.
Well, entertainment television for sure does, because they need a red carpet and interviews and people looking their best.
Yeah, fuck them.
And I know for one, my wife really enjoys watching that part of the program. So I don't think the Zoomification of Emmys or any Oscar award shows is going to be a normal thing once we get out of this.
Shout outs. Okay. My first shout out goes to our Aussie friend, Andrea Kirby. She shared a meme that said, "America needs guns to defend themselves." And then the actual meme showed a Melbourne Australian man who fought off a carjacker with a Nescafe Blend 43 jar. I'm assuming that 43-ounce was a 43-ounce bottle. I don't know. But Lauren Sharp piped in. She piled on. And these fucking crazy Aussies. I love them.
Aussies are fun. Sort of a somber shout-out, RBG, Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg.
Yes.
Everyone knows, passed away this week. Fortunately, Congress was able to, you know, honor her dying wish and not vote for a new Supreme Court justice until the election is over. Yeah. Anyway,
not going into that one. Fuck.
Yeah. Insensitivity. But obviously, Justice Ginsburg, women can have mortgages and bank accounts and all kinds of stuff because of some of the initiatives that she championed. So we would be amiss to not give RBG a shout out on the show.
And a lot of love. I tell you, having two daughters, obviously you having a daughter too. Yeah. I mean, we have strong wives that they can look up to, but she is also somebody just from a historic standpoint that, you know, our daughters can look up to. And that those are the things that mean a lot to me as a dad.
Yeah. And prove that you can get stuff done without yelling and beating your chest and clubbing things.
Like, yeah.
She did it with class, grace, and intelligence, and that was cool.
Her brain. She outbrained motherfuckers. somebody who probably outbrains us all, Jody Brandsetter. She's the author of the book Hire by Design. She's not far from us. She's over in Loveland, Ohio. She loves the podcast. And Kip Burnt Whistle, I bet he got beat up at school with that name, director of TA at Caliber Collision. He's such a big fan of the show. He has most of his TA managers listening. And I'm asking most. Mandatory listening, Kip, 100%. Come on, man.
And what was that last name again?
Burnt Whistle.
Kerfluffle. Okay. All right.
Kip Kerfluffle.
Only Cheeseman is worse, everybody. Only Cheeseman is worse. Shout out to Immunity Discrimination. This is something that I just heard this week. But apparently, there's a story around that employers will start practicing immunity discrimination, meaning if you don't have the vaccine, if you're not immune to COVID, you're going to have a hard time in the workplace. So it's first time I've heard it. It won't be the last. Shout out to, quote, immunity discrimination.
It's another one of those topics that people are using to gaslight every fucking thing else that's out there. It's like we have this overabundance of bullshit topics that are just coming out just all over the place. And this is one of those.
Damn it. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Shout out to Jason Banks. He knows we love lists, so he created his own list on LinkedIn with a Thursday top four podcast for staffing, recruiting, talent, and sales. And obviously, he listed Chad and Cheese.
Of course. Shout out to Jennifer Rivali. Jennifer is now VP of Marketing at PandoLogic, sponsor of the show, and was formerly at iSims. We're talking 15 years experience. PandoLogic is better off, and poaching is always fun. So I'm not sure that happened, but hey, a nice win for our folks at Pando. And Jennifer, good luck.
That is a big win. Big shout out to David Falwell. Absolutely love the podcast and always hears great reviews. I like reviews. So that being said, do what David just talked about. Go give us a review about on the podcast, on whatever podcast platform you use, and give us some real feedback. None of that mamby-pamby jumbo bullshit that you see on other podcasts. Oh, I love it so much. Yeah, give us real feedback. If we don't get a 5-star review, that's fine. We're okay with that. That just means that we're ruffling feathers, and that's what we're here to do.
It is what it is. Shout out to two guys at Paradox that agreed to sit down with us and talk chatbots, AI, football. What else do we talk about? All kinds of good stuff. Josh Zwain, Adam Godson. If you haven't listened to the interview with Paradox, go check that out in our archives. It's well worth your while.
Yeah, I still think the chatbot versus conversational AI narrative is a bunch of marketing bullshit.
It's all marketing bullshit, Chad. Shout out to the Recruitment Flex podcast duo out of Canada, Serge Boudreau and Shelley Billinghurst. I sat down with him this week to talk about Poach, podcasting, Canada, all kinds of good stuff. So shout out to them. Shout out to Luxo.co, a company that I've never heard of. Tim Sackett loves them, apparently, because he's endorsing the company on the
Means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. But anyway, if you scroll down to their navigation, the drop down menu for their solutions, they have actually trademarked everything from like AI to chatbots to sourcing to everything. So, wow. Who knew you could trademark AI? Luxo did, and suck at everybody else. You got to pay them the fee if you want to use the AI. I'm doing this very sarcastically because
yeah, no, I call bullshit.
A trademark for AI. Yeah. And last but not least for me, I guess in shout outs, Cleveland Indians, everybody. Come on. Are you a baseball fan? this week, three-run homer, a walk-off home run in the 10th inning against the White Sox to put the Indians into the playoffs. Starting in October, I can't be more excited, you know, about anything than that. So Cleveland Indians.
So is Chief Wahoo now officially off all the official garb?
He is off all the official, officially licensed products. Gotcha. You can certainly still buy the Chief online, probably anywhere. Certainly stores and vendors around the stadium, I'm sure, still have him. Mm-hmm. Many people haven't seen the 1950s or so version of Chief Wahoo, which is way more
racist,
disgusting. So I think even the 1950s Chief Wahoo is available. So yeah, you can still get him, but not officially licensed. So hats off to the organization for doing that. My guess is they won't be the Indians for much longer. My vote is for the Spiders, which was their original name back in, you know, 1903 or something.
Flashback events.
Events.
All right. So I've got a couple to throw out here. We've got the HR Hackathon, the HR Tech Investor Panel, which I'm going to be leading, moderating, or whatever the hell you want to call it, on October 7th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Panelists on this one. You're going to love it. Got Mike Wilczek. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
The Chief Strategy Officer over at iSIMS. Peter Bailu, Hungary's most important HR tech angel and startup investor.
Is that the country Hungary?
Yes. I wonder if he gave that to himself. Wow. And Miguel Encarnacion, the managing partner at Unifier Ventures. So we'll be doing that on October 7th. Look for the registration link on the socials. And then last but not least for me, October 27th, 2 p.m., kids, we have a friendly disclosure part two. The topic on this one is remote workers deserve less. This is where Jim Stroud and myself will be arguing the topic, pretty much the Facebook topic, and other companies are doing it now where they're docking employees' pay and calling it a cost of living adjustment when they move out of Silicon Valley, for example. We wrapped up the recording for Friendly Disclosure Part 1 this week where we talked about diversity quotas, or what I like to call diversity goals. Jim and I did some arguing. He argued against diversity goals. I argued for them. We disagreed, but at the end of the day, kids walked away friends.
Who came out the bloodier of the two in that one?
You have to watch it because there was some blood and there was some shade that was thrown big time.
Oh, shit.
The recording is available right now. Like I said, just hop on my socials, check it out again. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we had at this point, like close to 200 attendees. We walked out with a 4.2 out of 5-star rating, which I think is good because, again, we ruffled some feathers and people didn't agree with us, which is awesome. But check us out. Go to, again, my socials on Twitter. Just search for Chad Sohosh. I'm the only one there. Or LinkedIn, and you'll find it.
So you're doing another one. Will this be an ongoing series of like Jim versus Chad? Is this something we should expect going into 2021, or what's going on?
Well, I see this almost like as a TV production. That was the pilot in circa ordered three. Okay. So we have three that are actually set up, and Circa ordered three of those. They got some great feedback from it. Awesome interaction. And a lot of people said they couldn't wait for round two.
Wow.
So, you never know. I mean, again, it's like a TV series. If they keep ordering, or if somebody else wants to outbid and order them, then awesome. Let's do it.
Well, who doesn't love a good fight? I say.
Topics.
Okay. So got some rumors.
Stop setting these rumors.
Got some rumors.
Every day.
Yeah. So I've got to say, first and foremost, I've reached out to a number of sources to confirm this rumor, this bevy of rumors.
Yeah.
I have a few that have confirmed, but not all. So right now I still want to keep this labeled as a rumor, but it's not unlike Indeed. So here it is. In the UK, we're hearing that Indeed is rolling out restrictions for any company using one-click apply. Those restrictions are that you must use Indeed IQ for distribution, thus cutting off programmatic competitor platforms. We've got a quote from one of my sources, and this was almost every single one of my sources said this, said, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they Indeed did this. This is the easiest way for Indeed to show that Indeed IQ performs better than other programmatic platforms. Indeed is already offering it, Indeed IQ, for free, and this is taking it to another level. I see this damaging for Indeed's reputation, quite frankly, as it might be a little too heavy-handed. And my question, you know, when has Indeed ever given a single fuck about looking heavy-handed?
It's the Indeed way. What do you mean, give a shit about what's going
on? It's a thing, you know? It's a thing. So adding to the rumor, also Indeed will shut down distribution for jobs going to Glassdoor unless you're using Indeed IQ. Again, you know, we're only hearing rumblings of this in the UK, but it's like it just keeps piling on.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, choke them to death, I guess. So this one came into me, and we thought we'd tag it onto the rumor segment here of Indeed. So this is a quote from a source that I have who asked to remain nameless. Indeed is screwing people who paid for job postings on Glassdoor. If they had an annual contract on Glassdoor, they are not allowing customers to use that money on Indeed. So there is no way to use the remaining contract for the postings. There is no way to enter jobs on Glassdoor. So Indeed isn't fulfilling their agreement.
Ouch.
I guess basically, if you're hoping that just because they're, you know, sister companies, that they're going to let you use that budget on Indeed stuff, well, you should probably think again. You're going to have to write another check, it sounds like. Again, rumors, everybody, rumors. We're happy to have Indeed on the show whenever. Yeah. Whenever they want to come clarify, dispute, whatever they want. Indeed, come on, bring it.
So I had a couple of people actually, again, texting back and forth, ask, when do we think they'll start keeping that 15% commission and turn into an ad agency? And we've talked about this in iterations of the show, and it's, I don't see how it's ever off the table, because if you think Monster did it, Career Builder did it, and all the big names do this when they feel they have enough power, because they are the number one in the industry.
Yeah. And what about when they start rolling that into some staffing hybrid thingy? I mean, it's smart, I guess, if you can do it. People love these kind of monopolies. Google's sort of giving them the red light to fuck everyone over because they have Google for Jobs.
Say, yeah, well, that's on the job side. So, yeah, again, rumors, a lot of stuff we're hearing again. Indeed's, they're flirting with RPO. I mean, there's just so much. None of this would surprise anyone.
Yep.
And if Indeed IQ does start clamping down on distribution for one click, and then also for Glassdoor, I mean, those are two positions they easily hold power on. They could do that in a heartbeat.
Yep. Love those moats, everybody. By the way, if any listeners out there can confirm or tell us a little bit more about what's going on there, would certainly love to know if you can renew Glassdoor contracts, or if those are totally going to be spun into just Indeed contracts. going into next year. So yeah, if you know anything, folks, hit us up at chadcheese.com today.
Love it. So Outmatch and Launchpad, really heard of them both, but they just don't seem like big enough fish to have acquisitions, but they did.
I agree. Outmatch was a little odd. It doesn't look like, I can't see any evidence that Launchpad has garnered any kind of real investment money. So this thing may have been bootstrapped, seed funded. So the price may have been really reasonable, or maybe they got creative around paying for this. But Outmatch, for the most part, has gotten roughly $8 million in funding, which is nothing super to talk about or write home about. But they have some really great people on staff. Looking at their about page, Jason Ferrara, who you probably know was at Career Builder forever. He's their chief marketing officer. They acquired WePow a couple years ago, which was a sort of up and coming, fairly well-known company as well. So they made about 5 acquisitions in their existence. So this is sort of par for the course. To me, this looked like a whole the whole sort of data plus automation play that we've been seeing kind of come at the forefront of our industry. People trying to, how do we take data? How do we automate recruiting? They have a video interviewing platform. One of the comments from the press release was that Outmatch is now launching a quote, new talent selection platform that ties candidate screening, assessments, video interviews, and AI-driven predictive analytics into a single integrated automated workflow platform. Stop me if you've heard this one before. So maybe it's time to start thinking about Outmatch as a competitor to, JobVite, iSIMS, and some of the others.
Yeah. So first off, this is more of like a Rubicon Technology private equity play, I think, more than anything, to try to take a look at the market and obviously look at a competitor that's across the pond. What do you need to grow? Especially when you're talking about big enterprise organizations, you need to have the ability to go across the pond. And if you can get a small competitor, because if you look at what these guys both do, it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, there's going to be some nuances here and there, but I just don't see this. I don't see this as an applicant tracking system, first and foremost. I see it as more of a candidate, a very, very deep candidate experience layer. But overall, I mean, it seems like they are two small fish in a very large ocean who want to serve their clients better on both sides of the pond, and they have private equity funding. Knowing that, and at least betting against or betting for this this market to turn, and when it does, this is going to be the type of technology that companies are going to need, right?
Yeah. My bet is there might have been some sort of, a little bit of parachuting by Launchpad. Obviously, the economy has done what it's done.
Yep.
That might have been a pretty easy call to make to say, hey, there's some synergies here. Why don't we get some employment contracts, write us a check, and let's join forces and take on Europe and North America.
JobVite, the leading end-to-end talent acquisition suite.
Named a leader in ATS, recruitment marketing, CRM, and onboarding on G2.
Kim Beague says JobVite is a user-friendly, passionate enterprise team that takes care of you. Jolly good.
Jeffrey R. says, candidates are constantly telling us we get it right compared to other orgs. Love that.
Results driven by AI.
Connections built by humans. JobVite. Learn how you can evolve your TA function at JobVite.com.
Jolly good. Cheerio, JobVite.
Bloody well.
Adam Gordon's going to have a shit fit over that.
Yeah, that's a good one, though.
More British advertising on North American.
I love it.
So one company that's taking on throwing people out on their asses, that got you all excited this week.
Who wants a fast-growing, making money gig? Who wants that? Who wants to make money? Who wants a gig?
Hell
everybody
yeah.
does, right? But the gig economy in this point is launching its Uber for evicting people. This has to be the worst.
This is an Onion story, right? This is the Onion.
When I read it, I thought there's no way in hell this thing could be true. But here are some of the services that you could provide. You could serve papers.
Yep.
You could assist with standby extraction, which means throwing people out of their homes on their asses. You could assist in foreclosure cleanouts. And there's actually a button on the site that says be hired as an eviction crew.
Yep.
So Helen Duncan, a Chicago-based paralegal who also participates in housing activism, saw a Craigslist post for civil. That's C-I-V-V-L.
And it's anything but, by the way.
It's definitely not civil. While searching for jobs, the ad alarmed her. Here's a quote. It's fucked up that there will be struggling working class people who will be drawn to gigs like furniture hauling or process serving for a company like Civil, evicting fellow working class people from their homes so they themselves can make rent. And apparently the Craigslist ad was posted across the country.
Yep.
They say there is plenty of work due to the dismal economy. Unemployment is at a record high, and many cannot or simply are not paying their rent and mortgages. We are being contracted by frustrated property owners and banks to secure foreclosed residential properties. This is fucking horrible.
It's horrible, but it's also just the reality of where we are right now, right? Like, if it wasn't civil workers, which sounds horrible, but if it wasn't these cats, it would be someone else throwing people out of their house, serving papers, etc. So,
well, let whoever that is do it. Do it.
It's total shit. Yeah, I agree, and it's super scammy feeling too. It's sort of like it feels like they should, like, if they're saying, hey, pay us $100 to learn how to make money by evicting your neighbors. That almost feels like where this should be. Some sort of a scam that's going on.
Yeah.
Because, you got to think there are people that are employed to serve papers and take shit out of houses, rental properties, et cetera. But anyway, yeah, the gig economy was bound to happen everywhere. And this is certainly one that it unfortunately has. Also note from the story that the website featured a quote that was attributed to the New York Times. Did you see this?
No.
The quote was, too many people stop paying rent and mortgages thinking they would not be evicted, end quote. So apparently the journalist Googled that quote, which did not reveal it appearing anywhere, let alone associated to the New York Times. So they're conveniently sort of making up shit to build reputation around their business when there really isn't any. And obviously the nationwide ad on Craigslist doesn't really smell all that good either.
And they're owned by a company called On Call, which is O-N-Q-A-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
They're the developer behind other believable gig apps like Lawn Fixer, Clean Quick, and Move Quick. So this is something that they do, and it looks like just opportunists. But overall, man, while Jeff Bezos is making billions more dollars, we're pitting the working class against each other by kicking each other out of our fucking homes. This is despicable.
Well, just wait till they launch buyacruiseship.com and emptythatmovietheater.com coming soon to the Uber economy near you. That's actually true. Did you hear Carnival selling off cruise ships?
I would never get on a cruise ship. Ever.
But would you buy one for you and your posse?
No.
We could do the podcast live from a Carnival cruise ship. Sponsored by Sovereign. If you can't laugh, you'd cry. What's on the next docket for news stories?
People are being evicted and they're obviously moving out, but where are they going? You shared the 2020s migration trends, smaller cities gain ground.
That's right. LinkedIn, it's not just for automated spam, everybody. they actually produce some images and data. So they had an infographic this week. 2020's migration trends, smaller cities gain ground. So their top five sort of biggest gain cities that are in the middle there in terms of size. You got Jacksonville. You got Salt Lake City. Beautiful sunsets there at Salt Lake City. You got Sacramento. All those Californians moving to cheaper Sacramento. You got Milwaukee. Come on, is there a better place for beer and cheese and football this time of year?
No.
And then five, you got Kansas City, Missouri. Now, the steepest declines, you could probably name those cities. You got New York at number one,
yep,
seeing a 23% decrease. Whew. In terms of population. That's pretty hard. Number two, San Francisco Bay Area. They're at 21% decrease. Seattle, number three at 10%. Boston and Portland right around 9% there at the fourth and fifth worst. So, yeah, the trend is let's get the hell out of this city where we're all piled on each other and all contagious. And let's go move to Jacksonville, where there's a beach nearby and there's at least one professional football team.
Well,
one professional team.
Yeah, no question. Less dense population, you know, less infected people, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, for not for everybody, but for some, remote work is in place into 2021. For at least till 2021. So why stay? And then, if you think about it, moving from New York City to Indianapolis would save mm-hmm. a family just mad cash. So. Yeah. All of that, you know, the opportunity is showing itself to be able to do these types of things. It's like, why stay here if I don't have to work here and walk, you know, and take the train in? Shit, I'm just going to go ahead. We're going to move 3 hours outside. Or I would be really interested to see as well. You know, what are the trends around rural areas, not just small cities, but rural areas?
Yeah, suburbs, obviously popular. I have heard stories, maybe anecdotally, that, you know, a lot of New Yorkers, yeah, they're moving to places you would think of, but also Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine and places that you don't normally think of as, you know, cities just with suburbs that you can move to. And the value of this strategy is, in Chad's world, you can still make those New York City salaries by living in beautiful Carmel, Indiana. So you got that to look forward to. But yeah, I think it's a trend that's gonna stay. I don't think work from home is going away. I don't think people wanting to live with a little bit of space and yard and still having the amenities of some, you know, a city with restaurants and entertainment. I mean, nothing matches New York City. So the argument that New York will come back is probably true. But yeah, if you're living in Chicago, like, you could live in Milwaukee or Indianapolis at much cheaper and not have a real change in your standard of living. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, but more people would definitely move, but they just can't afford to. Now, the big question is, why can't they afford to? Well, a new study by Rand Corporation calculates how much more money people in the United States would earn if economic growth from 1975 to 2018 had been shared equally instead of dramatically shifted to those with the highest incomes, aka the shift toward trickle-down economics, which gave a lion's share of that money to the already wealthy. And really what Rand is saying is, if we hadn't been duped by trickle-down economics, the person who's making $50,000 today would be making $92,000. People are getting screwed out of a lot of money. Not only would the typical middle income worker get a boost from $50,000 to $92,000, but the upper middle class working person, who's the 75th percentile, would have gone from $81,000 to $126,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was certainly timely, Chad, that the U.S. News and World Report this week had a story with the title, 10 U.S. Cities with the Largest Income Inequality Gaps. So, yeah, there's a top 10 list for that, too. You want to hear it? Of course you do.
Yes.
Number one, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Yes, it's the U.S., everybody. Number two, Atlanta, Georgia. Number three, Miami. Number four, New Orleans. Number five, New York. Yeah, come move to Indianapolis. Number six, Cleveland. Ugh. Cleveland rocks. Number seven, Cincinnati. That's two Ohio cities, kids. Number eight, Dallas, Texas. Number nine, Tampa, Florida. And number 10, Chi-Town, a.k.a. Chicago, a.k.a. the second city.
Here's the thing that kills me is that the average income of the top 1% today is now $1.4 million. If we did have more equitable distribution, it would be $630,000. Who in this country cannot live on $630,000? No one. I'll answer that. So I listened to this podcast called Pitchfork Economics. It's has a billionaire named Nick Hanauer on it. Mm-hmm. And he understands that, you know, if we don't change direction of our country and start taking care of our people, the pitchforks are going to come out. I mean, seriously, the last numbers I saw is around like 12% of the working population are considered working poor. These are people who are doing a fucking job, yet they are below the poverty line. It's fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm running for president and campaigning on UBI of $1,000 a month and free Xboxes for everybody. Damn it. Pitchfork Economics, that's a podcast.
Yes, and we don't need another white guy running. We have plenty of those.
Sorry. Yeah. Pitchfork Economics. By the way, I'll throw in Michael Cohen has a podcast now. Not recruiting Batman, but the actual Michael scumbag Cohen. Michael Cohen has a podcast. He recently interviewed Scaramucci, the Mooch, and Rosie O'Donnell recently. So there's two podcast recommendations for you, everybody. We spread the love here in podcast land. Pitchfork Economics and Michael Cohen.
And you know who else spreads the love and they do great job distribution?
Doors are reopening and businesses picking back up. With the workforce making its comeback and with many rebuilding their teams, are you prepared to engage the wave of returning job seekers? Whether you're struggling to fill high-volume hourly roles or looking for long-term full-time talent, your recruiting toolkit needs to be lean and mean as you adjust with fewer resources, tighter budgets, and rapid hiring needs in a saturated and competitive market. Posting jobs shouldn't be a lengthy, risky, or fruitless process. You can count on JobAdX to be your force maximizer. Automate the details of your programmatic job ad distribution, candidate targeting, and budget management so you can focus your energy on the big picture and human aspects of recruiting top talent. Reach relevant candidates effortlessly across 200 sites in the U.S. and Canada. Simply upload a feed of your jobs and set your budget in less than 5 minutes. We do the rest. Getting an influx of applicants already that just aren't the right fit? JobAdX presents your jobs to targeted candidates based on their job preferences to get granular. Now your advertising spend can go towards more relevant candidates, not just more applicants. What's more, your JobAdX programmatic campaigns now reach the government job bank systems in over 30 states, giving you centralized access to the majority of active job seekers eager to get off of unemployment and get back to work. Send us a note today with your unique challenge to see how we can help you in the new state of recruiting. Make the next step forward and start your results-focused campaign now at jobadx.com. That's JOBADX.com.
Capitalism will save us, Chad. Which brings us to our next story.
No, it won't.
Patagonia is pulling no punches.
Yep.
Talking shit on clothes. What's up with that?
The biggest question is, what does your brand stand for? As we talk to brands, that's what, you know, especially we talk about millennials. I mean, they are going to be the biggest part of the workforce composition. And from research, we know that they're looking for companies that stand for something. And Patagonia stands for something. They have spoken out against corporate America buying up federal land to devour natural resources, global warming. They've given over $100 million and training to grassroots activists. They've done a ton of shit. But here coming up is, you might know it, almost time to vote. Patagonia is closing its California HQ, distribution center, and all retail stores on November 3rd, providing up to 4 days of paid time off for employees who volunteer as poll workers and offering access to a photocopier. What's that? For areas where ID copies are required for mail-in ballots that Trump is going to try to get shoved down the fucking trash can anyway.
Resist it, Chad. Resist it. Don't go down the hole. Don't do it.
Sorry.
Yeah. You and I remember probably famously the Michael Jordan quote, Republicans buy shoes too, which was in answer to sort of like, why aren't you more politically active? Why aren't you speaking up? And me personally, I think I speak for you as well. Like this trend of not only just corporations, but actually, you know, stars, people that endorse products,
yep,
are having a voice or taking a stand. Obviously, I think in many ways it's good for business, right? Like Patagonia is going to attract the kinds of folks who, you know, believe in climate change and believe in the things that they promote. And we see companies like Airbnb and Allbirds and Tom's Shoes, like this whole sort of do good, whether it's politically or environmentally or save the oceans or whatever, like to blend commercial interest with actually saving or doing good for the planet, I think is great. I think the added angle of this in terms of giving employees, you know, the day off to be politically active, to work the polls, to, you know, canvass for candidates, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's super important. And as much as we bang on capitalism, I think there are instances where capitalism and business is doing the right thing, even more so than, you know, governments or even individual citizens. So I think we both obviously applaud this big time and hope to see more and more companies doing shit like this.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is more of a fringe activism than we're seeing standard. If this was something, if corporate America could police itself, which is never going to fucking happen, then capitalism would be awesome. And that being said, there was I don't know that it was capitalism, but something sacked this chief executive. And he came on to, I think it was just LinkedIn. It might've been all the socials, but I saw it on LinkedIn and he was doing push-ups, which they call press-ups across the pond.
He was a victim of ageism.
Yes.
He was a victim of ageism. 60-year-old, wanted to prove that he still had the mojo.
That's right.
Went to LinkedIn, video of six, how many push-ups? 50?
He said he does 40 to 50 a day, runs about 30K a week. And said he's got a good, you know, 10 to 15 years left in him. And I think that the big message was, look, I was more than likely cut, not because of my age, but also because of my salary. And you see that a lot of times, right? And he said, you know, let's not talk about salary. I've got another 10 to 15 good years left in me. Sure. Let's sit down and have a conversation, you know? And he was doing the push-ups and he was talking about his physical activity, just because there are a lot of guys his age that are out there that want to go off and start gardening, right? They want to finish their life in the garden, which is cool. Or they want to be sitting around drinking tea. He's not that guy. And that's how he wanted to try to demonstrate. And from my understanding, dude had a ton of interviews and I believe might already have a job.
Yeah. Well, first of all, give this guy an acting contract because he looks like an extra in a Guy Ritchie movie. All he needs is a pair of brass knuckles and a bat, and he's like the next Bond villain. So give this guy, this grizzled looking old guy, an acting contract. But yeah, doing push-ups on LinkedIn works. According to the story, he has now more than 100 employers that have gotten in touch with him about a job after the video. And by the way, the video had 700,000 views on LinkedIn. So the guy could have just got a sponsor for his little stunt. He probably not had to get a job. He could have just springboarded into that acting contract that I just talked about.
Yeah. Unlike you, Joel, people like to work.
40 days to the election, folks. If you want to make a difference, support a candidate, go vote. Go get active. We out.
Thank you for listening to Podcast with Chad and Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.